Virtus is the Latin word for manliness, but it also implies excellence and courage. Welcome to Virtus, a show dedicated to inspiring and cultivating virtue, character, courage, excellence, manliness, and honor. I am your host, Bo Hutchess. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. Welcome back to the podcast, and on today's episode, I'm going to be talking and just reflecting a little bit on our current cultural moment and this election process, and I'm entitling this episode, Put Not Your Trust in Princes, as the scriptures teach us to do. So currently, Tuesday, November 10th, it seems like the election is still up in the air at the moment. I know that the media has pretty much called Joe Biden the new president, but I think that it's going to be a while before we find out what's going on. I think that it's going to be a while, a couple months, and I wouldn't be surprised even into the next year until we really find out who has been declared to be the president of the United States. We know Donald Trump, and we know that he's not going to be going away without a fight. And I think that he's going to drag this out as long as he can. And I think he's has the right to do so. And he's got the every justifiable reason to do so, at least the way I'm looking at things. So I'm not convinced that we have a President Biden just yet. And I don't think Trump is going away anytime soon, whether that's going away from the White House or just going away out of culture anytime soon. And I think that that's a lot of what the more liberal-minded people want to see, that Trump would just, you know, evaporate into thin air. But he's not going away. So I think we need to just have it in our minds that he's going to be around for a long time, whether he is in the White House or whether he's not. He's going to be around for a while. And I think that this whole process, if Trump ends up losing, I think this whole process has incentivized him or will incentivize him to be even more Trumpian. So I don't think he's going away anytime soon. But either way, whether Trump wins or whether we have a President Trump or whether we have a President Biden, the scriptures teach us to not put our trust in princes. Not to put our trust in princes. If we have all our trust in one candidate and not in the scriptures, in the Christian worldview, and in the Christ, then we are putting our trust in princes. And we should not do that. It doesn't matter if you're a conservative or liberal. The scriptures teach us not to put our trust in princes. And I want to encourage us, excuse me, as we think about the election, you know, I think we need to begin to look beyond the next 4 years. We need to begin to look beyond the next 4 years and work for things beyond the next 4 years. Now, 4 years can make a big difference. I don't think that we need to be apathetic towards our vote and towards our election process, thinking it doesn't matter. But the reality of the matter is, with a Joe Biden presidency, it would mean that our country would go more towards the left, and particularly a secularist left. This is not a religious left in some sense, not a Christian religious left. This is a secularist left. There's even Marxist underpinnings, especially in Kamala Harris. I mean, some of the stuff she's been putting out is definitely influenced by Marxism, whether they call it that or not. And we know historically that secularist left governments are not good for Christians. They are historically not good for Christians. But regardless of who takes the White House, if it is 4 more years of Trump or 4 years of Joe Biden, we need to look past the next 4 years. This last Sunday, I gave a sermon at my local church here. And I asked the question and tried to answer the question, is Christianity good for the world? Is Christianity good for the world? Not just westernized Christianity, but Christianity as a religion and its core doctrines, as an idea, is Christianity good for the world? And ultimately, absolutely yes. Many of the ideas that we benefit from today, many of the institutions, many of the advances in society came directly from Christians, the Bible, and the Christian worldview. Not every single one, but Christians have definitely had their impact on the world. And what was so striking as I, you know, prepared this message, just to think about all the years of church history and all the people within church history, all the nameless and faceless people who we, you know, we benefit from. Who we benefit from their labors, their ministry, their faithfulness, and we stand on their shoulders, and we have the opportunity to see further than they did. They are the more of the foundation, and we are more of the superstructure. And it was just so striking, and it just reminded me, you know, regardless of the times and seasons, regardless of the governors and the officials and the presidents that come and go, the church will go on. Brothers and sisters, the church has been here before. The church has been in this exact situation before. Political chaos, political tumult, political unrest is where God acts. That's where God moves. We think of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ and his birth, and Herod trying to find him out, and the Magi coming to see baby Jesus and having to deceive Herod. Jesus was born in the midst of political unrest with Roman occupation. One of the greatest theologians of the church, Augustine, wrote his book, The City of God, in the midst of a falling Roman Empire. We have all sorts of crazy politics in the Middle Ages, and there were debates going on. Was the church above the state? Was the state above the church? And petty politics is not something new with the Trump era. Petty politics is not something that has come on to the stage of human history in the Trump era. In fact, there was a Pope Stephen VI. He was so petty, in fact, he exhumed his predecessor, the Pope before him, He dug up his predecessor's body. He dressed this predecessor in papal robes, put him in a chair, tried him for heresy, found him to be guilty of heresy, and threw his body into the Tiber River. Now, we have yet to see something like that occur in our modern American politics, so petty politics have been around forever. Let's not pretend that politics were all nice and clean and such a great institution before the era of Trump. That's just not true. Trump certainly didn't do anything to take it in the different direction, but let's not pretend that politics has always been an easy and clean game. The reformers, John Knox, John Calvin, they did their work and did their labors in the midst of political unrest. In fact, you could even argue, and I would argue, that God sovereignly put certain political things in these men's lives, the reformers, to produce the things that they did. We know that John Knox and John Calvin both had to flee their own countries to find refuge somewhere else because of political persecution, religious persecution, and political unrest. A conflict is where the church shines. Conflict is where the church shines, and maybe even political conflict is where the church shines. Because the fact of the matter is, Christianity is in some sense a political movement. The claim, the adage, the belief, Jesus Christ is Lord, and there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, is, in fact, a political statement. They used to apply that to the Roman emperor, and early Christians applied that to Christ. The kingdom of God is our movement. We are involved in politics, whether we know it or not. We are following a political leader, a warrior king, a righteous Messiah, an anointed Savior who is a political figure. And we need a bigger vision than the next 4 years, as I've been talking about. And what I want to encourage you guys to do as you're listening to this, I want you guys to head over to crosspolitic.com and listen to one of their latest podcasts. They interview a guy by the name of Indy Wilson and a guy by the name of John Zmirak. Two different guys are not like they're together or anything. It's just a common show with two different guests. But I want to encourage you guys to go over and listen to that episode. And in fact, I think I'll put that show in the show notes. Because what they're onto there as they reflect on the election and as they think about things, it's just some of the best commentary I've heard since. You know, we kind of have the mainstream media commentary, we have the independent news media commentary on YouTube and things like that. But from a Christian perspective, I think this is the best. You know, they're not, 100% Trump MAGA fans. They're not 100% Biden fans. They are principled. Don't hear me say that they're not principled. But I think what they have going on over there and what they're talking about in this particular episode is very, very good. And they're just much better at articulating some of the implications of the election than myself. But one of the major things is, you know, they encourage Christians. You know, what do we do in light of this current season, whether we have a Trump presidency or a Biden presidency? What do we do? And you know, their answer was to be joyful and to build. Build, build. And I've been asking my question, you know, in light of the election, in light of having a bigger vision than the next 4 years, what can I be doing, creating and building? What can I be investing myself in? How can I be creative for the glory of God and for the good of my neighbor? You see, Christianity is not just the idea that Jesus is coming to take me to heaven someday and I'll just float away, and here I'm just kind of passing the time, I'm just getting my paycheck, I'm just kind of paying the bills. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is the kingdom of God invading earth. King Jesus is colonizing earth for his glory, and the question is, how am I contributing to that? How are you contributing to that mission, that vision of the kingdom of God, God inhabiting and creating a new humanity and redeeming the cosmos? How are you contributing to that? And that's the question, excuse me, that I've been asking myself, and I think that's the question all Christians need to be asking. The fact of the matter is, there will come a day where Republican and Democrat, those categories, no longer exist. In fact, the American experiment will probably no longer exist someday in the future, whether sooner or later. America will not be here anymore. It will be contained in the pages of history. So what are we doing now for that future time? What are we doing now for that future vision of the kingdom of God invading earth? How are we setting up our children and our grandchildren for a better world than the one that we have right now? The fact of the matter is, our children and our grandchildren are not only future voters who will, if America survives that long, they are not only future voters, and more importantly, they are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. They are citizens of the kingdom of heaven who will have the burden and the mantle of the gospel to carry it into the world. So what are we doing to help Jesus, to partner with Christ in colonizing the earth for his glory? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, as Psalm 24 teaches us. And just a few more reflections here. One of the most interesting things that I've found in the last several elections is not so much the blue states versus red states, but really the blue counties versus the red counties. There's a sharp divide in this country between the rural mindset, the rural belief system, and the urban belief system. If you go to the election map, not just in 2020, but many years going backwards, there is a very stark difference between the red, excuse me, got some sickness going on in my household. big difference between the red counties and the blue counties. The blue counties are all those cities, you know, are all the city centers. You know, even in conservative Texas, those blue spots are places like Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, San Antonio, Austin, and those types of places. And that's really every state. Almost every state you look at, the rural areas are red, the blue areas are, the city centers are blue. Now, I think that we're going to see a lot of changes over the next several years because of COVID and because of some of the freedoms that we have here in rural America compared to the urban places. Here in rural America, I'm in a town of about 10,000 people. Here in rural America, you know, you just naturally know people a lot better. You know, we just had local elections here, and I know, you know, one of the previous county commissioners very, very well. And I also know one of the county commissioners that was voted on pretty well. And I don't know if you can say that so much for bigger counties and for bigger places in urban centers. But I think we're going to see a lot of people shift, you know, and kind of move out towards the suburbs at least, maybe move out towards rural areas. I think the coronavirus and mainly the restrictions and the mandates on the coronavirus, we're going to see a lot of people move to those places that are more free. And we see that here in my area. There are far less restrictions on COVID. Now, it's not because necessarily the government has handed those restrictions down, but the people here, you know, it's just not a reality. You know, we are not New York City or Denver or Chicago. You know, we have cases, obviously, but for many, many weeks now, we've had zero people in the hospital, and people are, you know, just kind of throwing off their masks. They're still gathering. You know, our church has been meeting more or less really since the beginning of May, and really going pretty strong since September, and we haven't had any pushback, you know, from the governing authorities. Praise God about that. But I think that's one of the things that I'm going to keep my eye on in politics, the rural-urban divide, not so much the blue state versus red state, but a couple of the things that I really want to emphasize going forward into the next presidency, into the next 4 years, and into the future as we're trying to get a vision for more than 4 years. Really an emphasis on localism, developing a strong community around you. And this is why I prefer rural areas, because I think that you can develop much more meaningful connection with people in smaller places, even people that you disagree with. You know, I have people here in this community who I went to school with, who are some of my colleagues in my jobs in college, and we disagree pretty violently on politics, you know, but we have a similar love for our area and a similar love for our town, and in some sense that brings us together. Of course we can't be on the same page on everything, and I can't necessarily join their hands, and we can't lock hands on everything. But there is a stronger sense of community in rural areas, generally speaking. And I can think of at least 50 people off the top of my head that I can trust myself to, or my family, or my wife, or my child. I mean, there's people up in the city, I don't think they can say that. I don't think they can think of 10 people, but I can think of at least 50 plus off the top of my head. I can write them down in a list for you in about 2 minutes. So I'm really trying to develop a strong community. Obviously, a community of faith, people who believe the same thing as you, doctrinally and spiritually and religiously, but also who want to see the same things and see the same goals in your community. So developing a strong community, putting down roots in this area, you know, who knows what the future has to hold, but I would love, you know, to be involved in some type of business venture here in my town. I would love to be involved in maybe starting a homeschool co-op or a Christian school here. And I think, as I kind of alluded to, there's much more opportunity to get to know my local officials. I know personally a few people on the city council. Like I said, I know personally the county commissioner who was just elected in and the one who just stepped away. So I want to get to know some of my local officials and just get to know them personally and care about them as a person. But also, you know, they are the servants of the public, so they need to know their public people who they are voted in to serve, you know. And I would really, really like to get to the point to where I care much more about local elections and state elections than the presidential election. Now, I'm not sure if that's possible nowadays. The presidency has a lot of power, and specifically the administrative state has a lot of power, and it's hard not to care about it. But I would love to get to the point where I care about those things, those local elections, much more than the presidential election. So those are just some reflections on the election. Let's have a bigger vision than the next 4 years, than the next 8 years, than the next decade, you know. Am I planning for the next 10 years? It may not have to be a, you know, point by point plan, strict plan, but am I moving in a particular direction to get me to where I want to be in the next 10 years? So go check out that episode on Cross Politic. You can find that, just search it in Google. I'll try to put it in the show notes and check that out. Especially about 40 minutes onward is just pure gold. So brothers and sisters, put not your trust in princes, but look to the true Prince of Peace. God bless. Thanks for listening. Remember that pursuing virtues is a journey, and it's a road that we are always walking. With new information, it's now time to act. So be wise and take responsibility. Be courageous and do what you need to do today.